Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Some of you have seen our safety video. We were going to do a candlelight portion of our banquet last year, but some of you have probably seen this video. But we're going to show it again, and it's important to show it because I really do want you to see that there are some safety aspects that we need to adhere to, because we are going to do the candlelight portion today. So here you go. You ready? Watch this and do pay attention. Thanks, honey. You're awesome.
Just want to give you some tips for lighting your candles for the candlelight portion of our banquet service tonight. Just waiting on Pastor Carl.
I'm ready.
Really?
Oh, come on. This is the season of hope. I mean, I'm hoping. This is the year. This is the year. In Jesus' name, this is the year. Is it not?
No.
This is the year.
Not appropriate.
Hey, everybody. Just a little video to share with you candle safety for the candlelit portion of our service tonight. So just waiting on Pastor Cheryl. Pastor.
I just figured what was good for the goose was good for the gander.
Yeah, that's not happening. All right. She didn't hurt herself there, by the way.
Hey, everybody. Just want to give you a quick little lesson on candle safety for the candlelit portion of our service tonight.
And tip number one is, who should hold the lit candle? Preferably, it should be a mature, responsible person.
Yeah, well, why do you get the lit candle first?
Because we all know, Carl, you have fire issues.
I don't have fire issues. That's not true.
Didn't you almost set the house on fire by throwing a wooden match into a pile of leaves?
Well, my dad put it out before it got too big. It wasn't really that bad.
Enough said.
Let's. Oh, man.
All right, everybody. Now on to tip number two, which is, do not tilt the lit candle when lighting the other person's candle. What? All right. Just continuing on with tip number two.
Tip number two. Don't tip the lit candle.
That's
to
important.
Light your candle.
Remember
always
that.
Tilt the unlit candle unlit into the flame to light the candle.
That's important.
Nice. Tip number two.
Nice mitt.
Yeah, need mitts around you.
Okay, everybody, we're now on to tip number three. Pastor Carl.
Well, tip number three is, when you're holding the candle, hold the candle straight up and in front of you. Because some people talk with their hands and stuff, and you could actually burn somebody, and that wouldn't be wise. All right, everyone, tip number four.
Number four.
Now, in number four, this is about blowing out your candle. When you blow out your candle, it's good to cup your hand in front of the candle before you blow. Because if you don't do that, you could accidentally blow too hard, and you might actually blow wax onto somebody near you. So
yeah, so you don't want to do this.
Oh, Cheryl! All right, everyone, just want to repeat number four again about blowing out your candle. We don't want to hurt anybody, Cheryl. So take your hand, Cheryl, take your hand, cup it in front of there, and just gently blow your candle out. Awesome. So now we're ready, and we're going to have a safe time together for the candlelit portion of the service.
That didn't go too bad, honey.
I think it was pretty good. I think I better go to emergency now. So, good night, everyone.
All right, that was good. Okay.
How you doing? You okay? You all ready for Christmas? You got all those things going on? We just got a card from Ron and Sharon. They're down in Florida. Isn't that awesome? We're Skyping with Brian and Lorna. They were sitting there by the beach, palm trees, and They were saying Merry Christmas to everybody this morning as well. But, you know, they sent us this card. It says, love came down that Christmas night, filling all the world with light. Merry Christmas, Ron and Sharon. If you're watching, God bless you. Brian and Lorna, how are you? And all our international audience watching right now all over the world. God bless you. Now, candle lighting, it's a tradition. Many churches do it. And how many Anglicans does it take to light a candle? How many Anglicans? I'm being nice. It's okay. How many Anglicans? It says 10. One to actually light the candle and nine to say how much they like the old candle better. Okay, that's good. How many Pentecostals does it take to light a candle? It only takes one to light the candle and nine to pray against the spirit of darkness. Okay, stop. I have to go on. Okay. All right. How many TV evangelists does it take to light a candle? It only takes one, but please keep on sending your money so we can keep the fire burning. Okay, good. All right. How many Spanish-speaking people does it take to light a candle? Any Spanish-speaking folks here today? Very simple. Juan. Just takes Juan. Juan. One more, just because you're enjoying it so much. Just one. Just one. How many fishermen does it take to light a candle? It only takes one, but boy, did you see the size of the candle? You folks over here, throw me a bone. Come on. Go Leafs. Come on. All right. My brother's a Montreal Canadiens fan. Can you believe that? I never knew that. That's painful stuff. Easy. All right. How many? You've got your candles? Everybody got your candles? All right. Keep those near you now. How many remember back 2010 when those Chilean miners got, you know, stuck underground? 70 days, like over 3,000 feet, I think it was, underground. How many remember that? You know, they were very concerned about them, and one of their concerns was because these guys were not only stuck underground, but it was this constant sense of darkness and no sunlight, and they would send down vitamin D, and they were able to get certain supplies to them, and they sent down different types of lighting, and they were trying to get them to in the area develop night and day and try to keep that sense and that pattern of what it was to be in the light. And yet they were concerned that, you know, because light can be very troubling to people mentally, and they were very concerned that this darkness could have such an effect on their lives. And they're doing books now about these guys, and some of them really were traumatically affected because they were trapped in that darkness for that period of time. One of the fellows, the only way he could deal with it was he just went back to work. He went back to the mines and he overcame but actually by just shaking it off and getting back to work. But darkness can really cause grief in people's lives. How many have ever been, you went to a movie, you went to a matinee, you went to a movie during the daytime and you were in a movie theater, really dark and beautiful sunny day. You come outside and all of a sudden, oh, wow. And then you got to throw on your sunglasses really quick because the light can be, bam, it can just hit you right in the face. So light's pow, just wow, light can really hit you. And when you've been in darkness for a long time, light can really impact you. So I know this Thursday morning, I have a breakfast club Thursday mornings, and some of you folks go to it. How many go to that breakfast club? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So, but we, Tim and Jenna was coming, but I don't know, Jenna. I bet now we know she is pregnant, and so those early morning things. Now we do have a dog. My son owns a dog. We raise it. So anyways, but we want to keep the dog limited in certain areas of the house, so we have baby gates, and we have a baby gate between our stairs, between the main floor and the upper floor, and generally when we go to bed, we take the baby gate away so that we can go upstairs, and so generally in the morning when I'm coming down early, and Cheryl's kind of likes to work late into the night, so she likes to get a little bit of beauty sleep in the morning. And so I'm going out tiptoeing, don't want to wake up the dog, don't want to wake up Cheryl, I want to get out to my breakfast club early in the morning. Well, this Thursday, Cheryl didn't remove the gate, so I'm going down. It was you, because I, you know, you were the last one up the stairs. And I thought it was gone, it was all dark, it went, and you know, when it's dark, things happen when it's dark. You can't see well, you run into things, so bam, I crashed into that gate, went flying, and I'm like, ugh,
But then I got in the car and went, and Cheryl said, what was that noise this morning? I went, you didn't move the baby gate. I mean, what were you thinking? I just about killed myself. You know, when it's dark, it impedes your ability to move around and do things. And you know, you get a bit anxious in the dark. You can be hesitant in the dark because you run into things and bang into things. How many of you have ever watched that movie, Black Christmas? You see that hand? Anybody? Like, I watched that once years ago, and when I saw it, I realized that in this movie, it's a real creepy movie if you haven't seen it anyways, but it's about this person killing a bunch of people. But at the end, there was this attic door, and the attic door, right at the end, like, we thought they got the person, and it's over, and I'm like, whoosh, that's good, I can sleep. I like it when it's resolved, you know what I mean? It was resolved, we got the guy, it's all good. But at the end, this attic door closes, and then all of a sudden, this person's up in the attic, rocking a dead body, going, now, that was really creepy, and I'm walking home in the dark, going home after watching that movie at a friend's house. I go, that was really creepy. But what was really creepy was that same little attic hatch, the same hatch, it looked just like that, was in my bedroom closet. So when I got home, I tell you, during the light, during the day, I could walk around my bedroom, no problem. I could open my closet, look at the hatch, no problem. But 3 o'clock in the morning, it's all dark. You can't hear a thing. I'm like, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I woke up a few times, looked up at the hatch, and I went, that's just like that hatch. And it got in my head. I mean, I was messed up for a long time. There's still 3-4 weeks later, I checked the hatch, like, that's just like the one in the movie. This could have been the house. This could have been the place. Anyways, I mean, you know, people get afraid of the dark. You get a little creeped out because of the dark. So darkness can cause mind games and do things. And so they've done that. They've done tests on darkness and how it affects people. They did tests in the University of Toronto, and they did this test, and they had some people in a dimly lit room and some people in a more well-lit room. It was actually eight lights were the difference between the rooms. And they did these tests on people, and they checked their scores later, but they asked them to just tell what their scores were, just verbally themselves, just announce their scores. And they found out that the people in the dimly lit room were 37% more likely to lie about how well they did. Isn't that amazing? Darkness can affect your morals. My dad always said that nothing good happens at dark. Nothing good happens after midnight. You should be home when nothing good happens in the dark. They had another study, I think it was the University of Michigan. They did a study where they brought people in, offered them money to come and do this test, but then they were going to do it with another person. And then at the end, the other person didn't know they were being paid for it, but it was up to you whether you shared your pay with the other person who helped you. They again did this study, and they did it, separated people in rooms based on how much light was in the room. They found that the people in the room that was very well lit, almost 50-50 shared what they were paid with the person that helped. In the other room, it was like, it wasn't 50-50. A lot of people were right down, like 25% that they shared with people. And the only difference in the study was how much light was in the room. It's amazing. We need to turn the lights up here at offering time. Don't you think? I mean, imagine if we turn the lights up here, our offerings might go up. I just thought of that right now. We should write that down. That was really good. You know, but darkness can really affect you. Carl Jung, he's a famous Austrian psychologist. He said, those psychiatrists who are not superficial have come to the conclusion that the vast neurotic misery of the world could be termed as neurosis of emptiness or darkness. He said, men cut themselves off from the root of their being and from God, and then life turns empty, inane, meaningless, without purpose. So when God goes, goals go. When goals go, meaning goes. When meaning goes, value goes. And life turns dead on our hands. Thought that was interesting. Have you got my PowerPoint ready to go there? I'm going to read a passage of scripture with you. If Denisha can pull that up for me. Look at John chapter 1:1-14. Now it's right up there on the screen, so just follow along with me. Ready? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So he was God. In the beginning was God. Give me another slide. In him was life. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, I put comprehend in yellow because that's a bit of a weak translation of the word. The word means it can never extinguish it or is powerless to overcome it. So the darkness cannot extinguish it, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It was there. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man. The true light that gives light to every man. Light, life, light, man. If you're going to have life, you have to have light. He was coming into the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him. Say received. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, those who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but they were born of God. Not of the will of a man, but they were born of God. Born of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this was John. This was John the Beloved. John who, on the cross, Jesus said, John, take care of my mom. Mom, this is your son. John who put his head on Jesus' breast. John, he wanted to describe the coming of Christ. And he described it just like creation. Let there be light. And when God wanted to confront darkness and confront evil, just as in the beginning when he confronted the chaos at creation, he said, let there be light. In the same way, the chaos and the darkness in the world, Jesus came to confront that. Like we talked about last week, that silent invasion, an invasion of God, heaven colliding with earth, was God sending his own son in the womb of a child. And we see that this John described it all as light. John said the light came into the world to pierce and to confront the darkness. Number one, light confronts darkness. Have you ever seen a dark room? You turn on the lights. Have you ever seen how the light struggles to come in? I mean, light confronts darkness. Just like when you walk out of that dark movie theater and you walk into the sunlight and you got to throw on your glasses. I don't know what it is, but when I walk into the sunlight, I always sneeze three times. I'm not sure what that is, but anybody else? Is that just me or? It just makes me, you, okay, thank you. See that hand? Thank you. All right. But light confronts darkness. Now, light can be a great relief when you need light. I mean, I wish I had a light Thursday morning, then I wouldn't have busted up my ankle instead of, you know, running into the baby gate that Cheryl didn't move. If I had light, I would have, you know, it wouldn't have been an incident at all, but without the light, and I didn't want to turn on the light because I didn't want to disturb Cheryl because Cheryl's a very light sleeper. And light from any place in the house, even if it's not the room she's in, can affect her sleep somehow. I don't know why. But anyway, but light can be a great relief when you need light. I mean, when you're like, I need light, I can't see. I mean, when you're in a dark place and you need light, light can be an incredible relief. And light, the light of God, is a great relief when you're in darkness, when there's darkness encroaching in your life, when there's some area of brokenness in your life. I mean, thank God that Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to deal with every place of darkness. And the light will confront darkness. Now, it will expose things. How many have ever been doing something in the dark and you didn't want the light? Don't be watching a movie, cuddling with your girlfriend, you know, a little smoochy face, and then mom comes in, click, and you go, oh! Not that that ever happens with our kids. Have you ever been in a place where the light came on and you go, I didn't expect that. I didn't want that. And light can affect things, and light will expose things. But light can cause things to be uncomfortable. And when the light comes on in situations and you're in a place of darkness, you see, they were in darkness. And when you're in darkness, when the light first comes on, I don't know about you, but sometimes your first response is to resist it. Even throwing on the sunglasses, even like this, even those fellows, the Chilean guys that were caught in the mine, when they came up, they were all sent down very strong sunglasses because they knew when they brought them out, they would need to, you know, have those sunglasses. Actually, I got a picture on my slide there of the Chileans coming up. You got that one there, Kanisha? You can actually pull it up. There it is. Right there. See the fellow with the glasses on? They brought them all up, gave them all very, very strong glasses because, you know, they knew that they'd been in darkness so long the light would hit them. You know what? The world has been in darkness so long, and no matter what you're involved in, when light comes, it can be in a bit of an affront. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you're addressing something in someone else's life and they need to hear it, but they don't immediately receive it that well? Anybody? I remember when my kids were small, I was willing to confront their darkness quickly. I was willing to confront whatever I felt I needed to correct or align in their life. I was more than willing to correct that really fast. You can go back to my slide where I was there. So it can be very uncomfortable. You say, I just don't want to receive that. You see, the world doesn't want to receive that. And immediately, when light comes upon darkness, immediately there is a bit of resistance. There is a bit of resistance, but let me tell you this. Jesus said, I am the light, and darkness cannot withstand the light coming. So light will come, and thank God for that. Let me give you point number two. Point number two is the light doesn't hesitate. The light doesn't hesitate. At times, it's more comfortable for me to withhold light. When I was young, a young pastor, I loved to confront right away. And I could tell people what was wrong in their lives right away. And I loved to correct because I loved to be right. And I knew what was wrong with you, and I would tell you straight up what's wrong with you. But I was finding a lot of people didn't like it when you told them what was wrong with them. And I don't, you know, even with my kids, as my kids got older, I realized that it was easier when they were younger. I didn't hesitate to say things, but as I got older, I started getting this pushback from them. I started getting this, you know, resistance. And, you know, sometimes when you get that kind of resistance when you're trying to help people and move them along, you'll get this pushback. And you see, what I love about the light, that God is light, Jesus is light, he never, ever hesitates. You know, sometimes it's good to hesitate. I've learned to be a little more wise in life, that sometimes the people aren't quite ready for the revelation of what they need to change. And sometimes you need to be a little more delicate with how you announce it, and don't be as abrupt. And you can be a little more, you know, a little grace mixed in with, you know, what you're trying to share. And that's very, very important. So I've learned to be a little more understanding. But you know what? God will not hesitate to confront darkness. And when I say darkness, that's not always, you know, some dark evil in your life, but areas where you're broken. Areas where your relationships are broken. Areas where your marriage is broken. Areas where, you know, you're not doing well in your career because you're not doing well because there's some personal skills you need to develop. You may need to brush your teeth in the morning. And you may think, well, that's confronting darkness. Well, some people it is. I mean, I had one fella came to me and he was having intimacy issues with his wife. And so I brought his wife in. We started to talk together. And you know what her problem is? He never brushes his teeth. I said, no, that was easy. Who wants to kiss a face like that? You know, some of those areas, you're confronting issues in people's lives. And you know, amen, how many men got a revelation right there? Maybe that's it. But you know, there's people who, you know, you're going for a job interview. I mean, have you ever considered, you know, cleaning up a bit and getting a nice outfit and putting your best foot forward? I never thought of that. Some of these things aren't complicated, but some people, you just confront them with that little bit of wisdom, and it's like, what are you saying, I smell? Yes. And the smell goes beyond you, and the interviewer might even be impacted by it. And then they go, I'm going to invite that into my world every day. I don't know exactly. But some of those things. But you know, God comes, and sometimes he's not so delicate. And he aren't you glad? Because, you know, there's times that I think about, I should address this with this person, but I'm going to get some pushback, and I don't know if the fight's worth it. So I pass. But thank God that he is not hesitant to come and to touch us. And you know, you need to build people in your life that love you enough not to be hesitant. You know, not only does God deal with some of those aspects of life, but you know, he deals, there's so many people in this room. I mean, Kevin was healed of Crohn's disease. Isn't that good? I mean, seriously, totally healed of Crohn's disease. I mean, and somebody else said hallelujah. Kevin should have said hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Let me try it one more time. Kevin was healed of Crohn's disease.
Hallelujah.
There we go. I mean, Bill was healed of tuberculosis. Amen. He said amen. I mean, we've had people healed of hep C. We've had people healed of tuberculosis. People healed of leukemia. People where darkness was encroaching on your life, trying to rob you of life. See, light equals life. Light came in, it brought life. Jesus, the message of Christmas is there is a light. God doesn't just shine light from above, but there is a light that is going to come and get intimately involved with your circumstances and bring the light of the life of God so that all of your brokenness and your darkness, it goes, and it cannot withstand the light of God's glory. Amen. All right, so God loves you too much to withhold. Number three, let me move on. We're good. Light equals life. No light, no life. Jesus said he is the light of life. I mean, either you have life or you don't. And he is the light of life. No light, no life. And the life was the light of men. And you see, when the light comes, here's the thing about the gospel. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus comes and says, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, the life. How many know that that message itself is pretty confrontative? And you know, right away, some people kind of go like, you know, I'm going to resist that. I feel to push that off. It sounds pretty strong. That sounds pretty heavy. But when you really understand the good news of the gospel, and you understand that if you don't have light, you don't even really have life. I mean, without the light of God, there is no life. I mean, to resist him coming into your life. And he wants to bring good. He wants to eliminate darkness. He wants to make your life more blessed, more prosperous. He wants to open things up. He wants to light your path, light your way so you can be successful. I mean, the blessing of God on your life, it's so significant. And yet people immediately, when they hear that, they tend to push that away because it's a very strong message. But if you don't have him, you don't have light. Stand in his penetrating light until your eyes adjust and let him illuminate your world. Stand in his light. Stand in his light. Stand there until your eyes adjust and let him, his goodness and his grace, and it will illuminate, touch, and transform your whole life. Jesus, the light of the world. Now, we're going to do a candlelight portion. You ready? How many are ready? And what I would like you to do is I would like you, if you can, kind of move towards, you folks, especially on this side, can you move towards the aisle? Move in a bit. And you folks over there, move in a bit. And you're in the back, move in a bit. And just want to kind of keep everything a little bit closer together there. Turn it up for me. And here we go.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Unplug that light, Desmond, for me.
The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. Can you feel the darkness? Almost half the world, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or to sign their own names. Less than 1% of the world spent every year on weapons was needed to put every child into school by the year 2000, and yet it didn't happen. 1 billion children live in poverty. 1 in 2 children in the world. 640 million live without adequate shelter. 270 million have no access to health services. 10.6 million died in 2003 before they reached the age of 5. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty and starvation. And they die quietly, some in the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the scrutiny and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak in life makes these dying multitudes even more invisible in death. Some 1.1 billion people in developing countries have inadequate access to water. 2.6 billion lack basic sanitation. The number of people killed in Mexico's drug war since 2006 is over 70,000 people. With no end in sight, Syria's brutal war, which has claimed upwards of 190,000 lives, and over 3 million refugees have been displaced, with over 6.5 million others also displaced. It's dark. There's wars, there's AIDS, there's drugs, there's racial struggles. Ebola has claimed 6,841 victims, confirmed deaths in West Africa. ISIS. It's dark. Darkness as black as night covers all of the earth and the nations of the earth. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people.
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. I will say to the prisoners, "Come out in freedom," and to those in darkness, "Come into the light." God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world he created.
Just give the light away. When you get the light, just give it away.
He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, You won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Arise, my people, let your light shine for all the nations to see, for the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. The glory of the Lord will shine from you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see the glory of the Lord upon you. Lift your eyes and see, for your sons and daughters are coming home to you from distant lands. Your eyes will shine with joy. Your hearts will thrill. Years ago, the light of God penetrated the darkness. Just one light, but a powerful light. Now, that light is shed abroad in our hearts. The incarnation continues. Christ in you, the hope of realizing the glory of God. You are the light of the world, not a light. You are the light. Let your light shine in the darkness, that many may be influenced by the restoring, miraculous power of God's love.
Why don't y'all just stand up and say, here we are.
Say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say.
Christmas is, it's not that God shone his light on your problem. It's that he came and he got involved in your problem. It's not that he stood above and he shined a light and said, look at that. He came and he saw that. Before you even knew there was a problem, he came. He identified with it. He took it on himself so that he can say, you're my child. You're an object of my love. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're free. And all he asks us is, all he said was, to those who believe, he gave the right to be the children of God. And all you have to do today, it's just like that candle was lit and you leaned in and you took some light. That's what taking Jesus into your life is. It's really what it is. And when you receive him, when you receive the light, you receive the life of God himself. And you know, if you've never done that, if you've never said, I receive you, I receive what you did. Because it's not about you accepting him. He already accepts you. Christmas is, I accept you. Christmas is God saying, I am nuts about you. I love you and I accept you. And all you got to say is, I really accept that you accept me. I accept that you're nuts. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the one who created all things, he completely accepts you. He adores you. He loves you. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about bringing attention to your darkness. Is that Jesus came, the light of the world, and he absorbed it so that he can declare. He has the right now to declare, you are righteous, you are free, you are whole. Isn't that wonderful? And I encourage you this Christmas, if you've never done it before, I encourage you to say, Jesus, I accept that you love me. I accept that you are who you are. I accept your forgiveness, your grace, your love. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.